Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you today. As Meg said, my name is John. I'm one of the pastors here, if I've never met you before. And I don't preach a ton here. I probably preach a couple times a year, but I love it when I get the opportunity to do it, especially if we're talking about something that is near and dear to my heart, which is definitely true about this sermon series that we are in right now called Pray. We're in part three of this series. And during the series, we're talking all about how to cultivate a deeper relationship with God through prayer. And right off the bat, I'm just going to lay my cards on the table. I believe that prayer is one of the most important things that we can do in our lives, but yet one of the most untapped opportunities that we have in our lives. I believe it's something that is so important, but something that we unfortunately neglect so much in our lives. I believe that prayer is essential in truly experiencing an interactive relationship with our Heavenly Father, with our Creator. I believe prayer is essential to us living life to the fullest. You know, Jesus said that I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. Well, I believe that we can get through life without prayer, but I do not believe that we can live life to the full without prayer. I think if we got prayer right, we'd have way more peace and way less anxiety. I feel like we'd be more truly connected to God. I feel like our lives and our families and our schools and our workplace and our community would be drastically different if we got prayer right. And I'm guessing most people in here wish that they had a better prayer life. Maybe you wish you just knew how to pray. Maybe you're like, I don't even know how to pray. I wish I knew how. Maybe you wish you prayed more. Maybe you wish that when you prayed, you just felt more connected to God. Maybe you wish that you saw God move powerfully through your prayers more than you experience now. Well, our goal in this series is to teach you a simple way to pray that you can apply today in order to cultivate a deeper relationship with God. And it's an easy, the way that we're teaching you is super easy to remember. P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, ask, yield. It's not a magic formula by any means, but it is based upon the way that Jesus taught his followers to pray that we see in Scripture. We've already covered the P and the R, the praise, the repent sections of this prayer method. Pastor Jimmy covered those over the last couple weeks, so if you missed those, I encourage you to go back, use our app or website to watch those. But today, I get to cover the thing that most of us think about when we think of prayer, and that's asking God for things, right? This is usually what leads us to pray in the first place. Like, we want something from God, we need something from God, maybe we've kind of come to the end of ourselves and we know that we can't do it on our own, and so we cry out to God. Even people that would say, I'm not really a person of faith, have probably done this part of prayer, have probably at some point cried out and said, God, help me, right? And so this is a super important part. It's the part that we probably learn first when we learn to pray. But this is also the part of prayer that probably has the most questions with it. This is the part of prayer that makes us question if prayer even really works. Because I'm guessing that every single one of us in this room has probably prayed for something that we didn't receive. And the more that happens, the more we pray without seeing a result or a certain kind of answer, the more that we could potentially lose faith in prayer, lose faith in the fact that God hears us, maybe even lose faith in God himself. And so it's vital that we understand what God says and what he doesn't say about asking for things in prayer. So today we're going to look at what God says through the writers of Scripture when it comes to asking. And here's some questions that we're going to address today. The first one is, should I ask? Should I even really ask God for things? You know, we've maybe heard it said that God is not your genie in a bottle. He doesn't exist just to provide you with everything that you want in this world. You know, he's got bigger fish to fry than maybe what I need in my life. And so should I even really be asking God for things? And so we're going to answer that question. If so, what should we ask for? What should we or should we not ask God for? Am I asking for the wrong things? What are the right things to ask for? How should we or should we not ask? Is there a certain way to pray? Is there a certain way to ask? Are there certain words I should be praying? Is there anything that I can do or say to affect whether or not my prayers get answered? And then finally, and I think this is kind of the million-dollar question that a lot of us probably feel if we're honest, what's the point of asking? Like, if God's just going to do what he's going to do, if answers to prayer seem kind of random, what's the point of asking? Why should I ask if I'm not necessarily going to get everything that I ask for? Why should I even do it? So we're going to answer those questions. And then I'm going to teach you a way also to, I'm going to teach you how to get your prayers answered based on what Scripture says. So I'm sure you'll look forward to that part. That's what everyone really showed up for. So let's jump in. We're going to start by looking at the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. This is the prayer that the series is based on. This is the most famous prayer in the Bible. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Many of you, if you grew up in a traditional church, probably recited this prayer during your church services. And this prayer is found in two places in the Bible. It's found in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke. And these are both gospels, both written accounts of Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Luke is the third. And so far in this series, Pastor Jimmy has talked about Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer. Today, we're actually going to look, he's talked about Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer. Today, we're actually going to look at Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer. And Luke's account takes place months after Matthew's account. So Jesus taught people how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, and that's Matthew's account, but in Luke has a totally different scene, totally different place, different people, different theme. So this is the account we're going to look at today, because in this account we see Jesus share some additional things about asking God in prayer. So we're going to jump in. Luke 11, verse 1 says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place." And I'll pause here because I want to highlight the fact that Jesus is praying, right? Like, Jesus is God, so who's he praying to? How's that all work? Don't have time to get into the theological aspects of that, but Luke highlights that the fact that Jesus prays, he highlights that fact more than any of the other gospel writers. And we see from Scripture that Jesus often prayed by himself and for long stretches of time, sometimes even overnight. So prayer was an important part of Jesus' life. He had the most important mission on earth, yet he consistently stopped to pray. He consistently stopped to get away, get by himself to pray. And if we look at the life of Jesus, it's clear that prayer was important to him. It was important to him to commune and connect with his heavenly Father, but it was also important for him to give us an example of how to pray and why prayer was so important. So Jesus is praying, and then in verse 2 it says, "When he finished, one of his disciples, one of his closest followers, said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' just as John," talking about John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, "taught his disciples." Well, these guys were Jews. Why did they need to be taught how to pray? They grew up learning how to pray. That was part of growing up as a Jewish boy. Well, I believe that there must have been something different about how Jesus prayed. Maybe he prayed more personally, more intimately than what they were used to, because Jewish prayers were often kind of recited or ritualistic. Maybe his type of prayer was more personal. Maybe he just prayed, since he prayed a lot more than they were used to, maybe they just noticed that there was something different about the way he prayed. But whatever the reason, the disciples knew that prayer was important enough to ask Jesus how to do it. Which, by the way, I think we should take a lesson from that. I think sometimes we're so, many of us can feel like, oh, I'm not great at praying, prayer's confusing, I'm not a pastor or anything like that, I don't really know how to pray really well, and so we just dismiss prayer. Instead, what we should be doing is doing what the disciples did and saying, teach me. Like, this seems important, I don't know how to do it. Jesus, teach me how to pray. So, God, teach me how to pray. Pastor, teach me how to pray. Friend who prays really well, teach me how to pray. This is the posture that the disciples had, and they were asking Jesus, teach me. And so he taught them. And here's the Lord's Prayer. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name.'" And this is the praise portion of the prayer that Jimmy talked about in week one. "Your kingdom come." This is the yield part of the prayer that Andy's going to talk about next week. "Give us each day our daily bread." This is what we're going to talk about today. This is asking. "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." This is repenting. This is what Jimmy talked about last week. And then finally, lead us not into temptation. And Jimmy talked about this last week, but we're also going to talk about this week because this is part of asking. And so a couple observations I want to make real quick about this prayer. The first is that Jesus is teaching them, as I've said, the same prayer in two different times in his ministry. Like, he taught them this prayer months ago, but they when they ask him, they say, Jesus, teach us to pray. He's not like, okay, I already taught you that one. Let me teach you a different one. He teaches them the same prayer, which means this prayer must have some kind of importance. The second observation is that he doesn't teach them the exact same words. The words are different in these two prayers. And so what we can learn from that is it's not about reciting verbatim the perfect words of this prayer. It's about the elements, the praise, the repentance, the asking, and the yielding of this prayer. And in regards to today's topic, asking, we can see that right off the bat that Jesus taught them to ask God for two things in this prayer. The first is to ask God to provide for their needs. Give us each day our daily bread. And the second is to ask God to help them follow him and lead us not into temptation. We'll come back to these two and what exactly these statements mean in just a second. But then Jesus goes on and he continues talking about asking God for things. He says to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, another translation says, because of your boldness, because of your persistence, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So Jesus is teaching his disciples that it's important to ask with boldness, audacity, persistence. And then he moves on. He says, so I say to you, my point is, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What Jesus is not saying in this passage is that just because you ask, you're going to get everything you ask for. That's not the point he's making. He's saying the one who asks receives. The one who does not ask is not going to receive necessarily. And so, again, we'll come back to this. And then Jesus concludes the story with a series of statements. He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? He's basically saying, like, what kind of father would be like, oh, you want this? Here's a scorpion instead. Like, that's a terrible dad, right? That's a terrible father. And Jesus is saying, like, if you then, though you are evil, though you are, he moves on. If you then, though you are evil, imperfect, broken, sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And Luke kind of ends the story there. So what exactly is Jesus teaching his followers in this passage? There's a ton here, but I believe there's five key points that I want to highlight for you today. And so here's five key takeaways from Luke 11. The first is that we should ask God to provide for our daily needs. Right? Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. He's clearly saying, ask God for what you need, but he's also clearly emphasizing daily, each day, daily bread. He's talking about daily reliance on God. Not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, not, hey, God, set me up for life. Give me a nest egg that I can just live on for the rest of my life. No, he's saying daily bread. Ask for God for what you need daily. And this idea of daily bread comes from the Old Testament, where the Jews are trekking through the desert. They've just been delivered from slavery in Egypt, and Moses is leading them through the desert. And they get hungry, and so God feeds them. But he feeds them in a very interesting way. Every morning they wake up, and there's bread on the ground that they can eat. And God's very clear, and he says, eat what you need for this day, but don't collect it and save it for tomorrow. But of course, they didn't listen to him. They collected it, saved it for tomorrow, and what happened? It was disgusting. It was spoiled. There were maggots in it. It was disgusting. So they learned their lesson, and from that point on, they just ate the daily bread, the bread he gave to them each and every day. And the point was that God was trying to teach them to rely on the giver, not on the gift. And Jesus is trying to make the same point here in the Lord's Prayer. He's saying, Father, give me what I need today. I'm not worried about tomorrow. You haven't given me what I need for tomorrow yet. I'll ask for what I need tomorrow. Today, God, give me what I need today. And God wants us to depend on him for what we need each and every day. And this isn't just about survival. This isn't just about food or money. This is about what do you need for today? peace, healing, help with a certain situation. Jesus is trying to teach us to ask God for what we need for that day. Second, we should ask God to help us follow him. We all face temptation. We all face sin. It's part of our broken world that we live in, part of our condition as human beings. No one is immune to sin or temptation. And Jesus knew that we'd face temptation. So he tells us to ask God for help. Lead us not into temptation. Help me resist sin. Keep me from tempting situations. Protect me from spiritual attack from the enemy. Help me be obedient to you, God. The reality is that we can't follow God without God's help. Right? If we try to do it ourselves, it's not going to work. We need God's help in order to follow him, in order to be obedient to him. So Jesus is telling us, ask God for help. Lead me away from temptation. Keep me from sin. Help me be obedient to you. The third thing that we see in this passage that Jesus is teaching us is that we should ask persistently and boldly. Back to verse 8 and 9, where Jesus talks about the friend asking for bread. He says, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, your boldness, your persistence, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And we see this principle repeated in the New Testament a lot, that God wants us to ask with persistence. He doesn't want us just to ask one time and then give up. It says ask again and again and again. And as parents, we know that this is how our kids ask, right? Do our kids, if they ask for something, are they, and we're like, no, they're like, cool, all right, thanks. No, right? They keep asking, no, please, 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 I want it, please. You know, like, they ask with persistence. They're audacious, persistent little stinkers. They keep asking. Persistence communicates that what I'm asking for is important to us, or important to me. But this is also not just about persistence, but about boldness and audacity. I've got three children, and my two older boys ask for things in very different ways. One has no problem asking for stuff. Like, he'll ask for whatever. He'll ask for help. He'll ask for money. When we go out to eat, he's like, can I get the steak with the lobster on top? Like, he has no problem asking for what he wants. My other older son, he is more hesitant to ask. He's more polite. My sons are sitting here in the front row, so I'm like trying not to. He's just more hesitant to ask for things, doesn't want to ask for too much. And so I appreciate both of their personalities, but in regards to what I'm talking about, one of them gets what they ask for a lot more than the other one, right? And here's the point, and that's the point that Jesus is making, is that the one who asks receives. The one who doesn't ask as much, like, we're not going to receive it if we don't ask God for it. So that's the point that he's trying to make. But he's not saying that just because you ask, you'll get everything that you want. The point he's saying is ask. Ask big. Ask often. Don't stop asking. Because God is generous. And God wants to give us good things. He says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Our God is a good, good, generous Father who wants to give us blessings, who wants to give us good gifts. We all understand the joy of giving gifts to one another and the joy of seeing someone open a gift that you've given to them. My wife especially, she loves giving gifts, so much so that when she goes shopping for gifts, I always know when she's going shopping because she comes home and she's like, can I give it to you now? Like, can I tell you what it is? Let me tell you what it is. And I'm like, no, I want to wait till Christmas or my birthday or whatever. Don't tell me. But she's so excited to give the gift. She loves giving gifts. And if we love giving gifts and we get excited about giving gifts to people, how much more would a perfect Heavenly Father, whose image that we are made in, how much more would he love to give us good gifts? But here's the problem. Here's where our experience doesn't seem to match up with what Jesus is saying. Because if God is so good and God loves giving good gifts, why didn't he answer that prayer? Why didn't he give me that thing that I asked for? I wasn't asking for something selfish. I wasn't asking for something bad. I was asking for him to heal my mom's cancer. I was asking for him to help me stop drinking. I was asking for him to help me find a job so I could provide for my family. If God's so good, why didn't he give me what I asked for? And I wish I knew the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe he wanted to teach you something. Maybe he wanted to draw you closer to him. Maybe he had a larger plan in mind. Maybe he did answer it in some way and you missed it. I don't know. But here's what I do know. God's goodness is not dependent upon our circumstances. Jesus was tortured, mocked, wrongfully killed, and abandoned by his loved ones. The Apostle Paul was repeatedly beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, and ultimately beheaded. The first Christians in the first century were fed to lions, were tortured. But their circumstances didn't change their confidence that God is good. Because ultimately, the good things that Jesus is talking about here in this verse is not just about our circumstances. Look at what he says at the end of verse 13. If you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And Jesus seems to be suggesting here that the Holy Spirit is the greatest possible gift that God could give us. And here's what I want you to understand about asking. And that's that the greatest thing that God can give us is himself. Greater than any blessing, greater than any gift. Right? We want those earthly blessings. We want those things from God. But God knows what we truly need most. And that's more of him. His peace, his comfort, his direction, his guidance, his perspective, his love. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the products of the Spirit of God. And many of us are familiar with these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Most of what we pursue in life, we already have access to through God's Spirit, especially things like love, joy, peace. So much of what we seek is in an effort to obtain love or joy or peace. But God is the source of all that. God is the source of all that is good. He's the source of everything we need, and he's the only thing that can satisfy us. So we should ask for things. We should ask God for good gifts, and God may give us some of those. But ultimately, asking is more about getting the giver than it is about getting the gift. We should ask God because he loves giving us gifts. But more, even more so, we should ask God because asking draws us into dependence upon him. A yes from God may lead us to depend on him more. But yet sometimes a no or a not yet can lead us closer to God. Ronnie likes to say, if you ever wonder what God is up to in your life, he's trying to get you to trust him more. He's trying to get you to trust him more. Why did God answer that prayer? He's trying to get you to trust him more. Why did God not answer that prayer? He's trying to get you to trust him more. And trust is demonstrated by our dependence. Like if we don't depend on God for anything, then trust is just a word. Trust is just an idea. Trust is demonstrated by dependence. So why does Jesus tell us to ask God for things if he isn't necessarily going to give us everything we ask for? Dependence. Why does God ask us to ask him for things even if he already knows what we need? Dependence. Asking is more about getting the giver than it is the gift. So what do we do with this information? If asking is more about getting the giver than the gift, then should we not ask for other things too? Well, obviously we've established that God wants us to ask for things. He wants to bless us and give us good gifts. So what should we ask for? What should we be asking God for? And I'm going to make this really simple. Whatever you want. Ask God for whatever you want. That might seem weird, but when I look at Scripture and I look at the New Testament verses that talk about asking, I discover that the words whatever or anything are used 9 times in conjunction with asking God for things. And Scripture talks a lot about asking God for specific things, asking God for our needs. We should ask God for our needs, for other people's needs. We should ask God for deliverance from temptation, for the Holy Spirit's power to be at work in our life, for protection from spiritual attack, for wisdom, direction, for justice in the world, for our leaders to lead with wisdom, for healing for ourselves or for someone else. Like, these are good things, and we should ask God for these things, but we're not necessarily limited to those things. What should you ask God for? Whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, whatever is burdening you. But surely there's some things we shouldn't ask for, right? Yeah, so what Scripture says, there's a couple things that Scripture's pretty clear on that we shouldn't ask for, and some of this is just common sense, but here's 3 things that I feel like we shouldn't ask for, or at least we shouldn't expect to get what we want when we ask for this. The first is selfish or sinful desires. God, give me worldly things, make me rich, make me famous, make me popular. Smite them, strike them down, right? The selfish, sinful things, those are things that God's not going to necessarily give us if we ask. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So we shouldn't ask for selfish or sinful desires. We shouldn't ask for things that lessen our need for God, like I talked about earlier. We shouldn't just ask for, hey, God, give me $1 million so I don't have to worry about anything for the rest of my life. Like, God's not going to give us something that just totally removes our need to depend on him. You know, some of us, you know, we pray, God, take away my anxiety. Take away this illness. Take away this thing that's just a thorn in my side. And God may do that, and we should ask him for that. But also, if he doesn't take those things away, we should believe that he's not taking it away because maybe he's using that to help us depend on him. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians about, he says, God gave me a thorn in my flesh to help me from being conceited. He said, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. God's not going to completely remove your need to trust and depend on him. Should you pray for those things to be removed? Absolutely. But just understand that God may not remove that because maybe he's using one of those things to help you trust and depend on him more. And then finally, shouldn't ask for things that contradict the Bible, right? As we read scripture and we see things about the character of God or the will of God or the principles of God, if we're praying about and asking God for something that contradicts one of those, we just shouldn't expect that God's going to give us that. So, things we shouldn't ask for. Are there certain ways we should ask or ways we shouldn't ask? How should we ask? Well, according to scripture, our behavior can affect God's response to our prayers. As I surveyed the New Testament about asking God for things, I found the following 4 things consistently communicated. So, the moment you've been waiting for. How to get your prayers answered according to scripture. The first is live obediently. How we live our lives outside of when we're just praying and asking God for things affects how God answers our prayers. Proverbs 15 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. James 5 says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. 3 times in scripture it talks about how God opposes the proud but shows favor or grace to the humble. The reality is God's not going to bless us if we're choosing to live in sin, if we're choosing to live in a way that's contrary to how he wants. He's not necessarily going to bless us in that. The way that Ronnie says it is we can't violate the principles of God and expect to receive the blessings of God. So live obediently, pursue God, pursue righteousness. That is going to affect God's answer to your prayers. The second is ask in faith. Scripture is super clear on the importance of asking in faith when it comes to prayer. Jesus himself was amazed. The one thing that scripture talks about that Jesus was amazed by was someone's faith. It says Jesus was amazed by his or her faith. Oftentimes he would tell somebody, your faith has healed you. And Jesus said things like this. He said, whoever says to the mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. James, the brother of Jesus, says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. So faith, asking in faith, is a huge part of prayer. Believing that God can come through on what you're asking for, which to me is the easier part, but then also believing that God will come through in the way that you're asking. That's kind of the harder part sometimes. So asking in faith, super important. Third, asking according to God's will. 1 John 5 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we don't know the mind of God. We don't always know what the will of God is. But we can see from scripture and from reading the Bible that we know that God wants to bring himself glory. God wants to bring people to saving faith in him. God wants for people to pursue righteousness. God wants for us to trust him. God wants for his followers to be united. God wants to transform us into becoming more like Christ. These are some things that we know that God wants. We don't have to guess. We know those things. And so the more that we pray alongside and aligned with God's will, the more confident we can be that he hears us and will respond. And then finally, ask persistently. Right? We've covered this. Don't just ask once and expect an answer. Continue to ask. Ask persistently. Ask over and over again. Don't give up asking. And this is not a formula. This is not something that just because you do these things necessarily means you're going to get all your prayers answered. You could do all these and still not get your prayer answered like you want. The reality is that God is God, and we are not, and his ways are higher than our ways. But according to Scripture, doing these things can affect the outcome of our prayers. And so what does practically praying like this look like? Like, what does this actually look like in everyday life? Well, here's three things that I try to do to incorporate prayer into my everyday life. The first thing is simply make time for prayer. Like, this is huge. Like, we have to make time for it. If you want to focus on, you know, making your marriage better, you have to make time for your spouse. If you want to focus on your personal health, you have to make time. You have to carve out time for it. It's the same thing with prayer. It's the same thing with our relationship with God. We have to make time for prayer. So for me, what this looks like is in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, go down to my basement where my office is, and spend time praying to God. For me, I have to journal. I have to write in a journal or actually type out my prayers. Otherwise, my mind goes in a million different directions. I have so much worthless junk and thoughts in my head, so many movie quotes that just pop up in the middle of my prayer time. And so I have to stay focused on my prayer. And so I do that through actually writing my prayers. But I start with praise. I recognize who God is, recognize that He is God and I am not. I praise Him for who He is. It helps just kind of get my mind in the right spot, knowing that I deserve nothing from Him. He is God and I am not. Then I confess my sin and I repent of my sin. And this is so freeing for me when I do this, confession and repentance. And it reminds me that I'm a sinner who deserves nothing from Him. And then I ask. And yes, this is the bulk of my prayer time because I need a lot of help. I need a lot of help to be the man that I've been created to be the husband, the father, the boss, the pastor, the friend that I want to be. And I ask for things like, God, help me become more of who you created me to be today. Help me, give me wisdom to make decisions. Help me love my wife and kids well today. Help my boys learn to follow you. Help me with this situation I'm worried about. Empower me with your Holy Spirit to glorify you today and be a light. Help my friend with what he's struggling with. Keep us from illness or sickness. Whatever is on my heart, whatever is burdening me, whatever is causing me stress or anxiety, I take those things to God when I ask in prayer. And then finally, I yield. And this is maybe the most powerful part of prayer for me, but I won't get into that because Andy's going to preach on that next week. I don't use super spiritual words. I just pour out my heart authentically to Him. And when I get going in this time, I don't want to stop. I really don't. I wish I could continue to just take time and pray. But when I am done, I always feel more at peace. I always feel more perspective. And I always feel more connected to my Heavenly Father, not only in that moment, but throughout the day. So make time for prayer. The second, set reminders to pray throughout the day. This is just something that's like super practical that I do. I actually have recurring reminders. One goes off at 12, one goes off at 5 on my phone, and all they say, the one at 12 says pray, and the one at 5 says thank God. And these are just ways that, like, I know that I have an enemy that does not want me to pray, and I know that my natural inclination will be not to pray. And so these are just simple things that remind me to kind of recenter at different points throughout my day, during my lunch break, when I get done with work, to recenter and take a few minutes and pray. Sometimes I take 30 seconds on the ride to lunch or ride home. This is a super practical thing that helps tie me back to praying throughout my day. And then finally, pray first. And this is just a mentality that I have when it comes to important things throughout the day. Oftentimes we treat prayer like it's a last resort. Like, when all else fails, then I'll pray. Well, this is all about, like, before I go into that meeting, before I make that sales call, before I give that presentation or take that test or do this important thing, like the mindset of, like, pray first, invite God into that. Reminds me of my dependence upon Him, but also invites His power and His Spirit into whatever I'm doing that day, whatever challenges I'm facing. So those are three things that I just practically do to incorporate prayer into my life. What step can you take to grow your relationship with God through prayer? There's really nothing special you have to do. You just have to start. We've taught you a method to pray. Take 15 or 20 minutes this afternoon or tomorrow and do it. Do it. Carve out that time and take time to pray, to praise, to repent, to ask, to yield. And then come back and do it the next day. Daily bread, daily bread, daily bread, daily bread. You'll notice a difference in your life and your peace on the days that you pray. Your connection with God will grow. You'll notice His hand more in your life. Sometimes I think we don't think God answers prayer because we're not looking for the answers. We don't recognize the answers. We don't recognize His hand in our life. Praying helps us be more connected and recognize His hand in our life. And if you'd like some help, we've got some different resources that we've talked about during this series. We have a lock screen that for your phone that just has praise, repent, ask, yield, just a great reminder. If you text the word phone to 55444, you can download that. We also have a prayer class that's starting, a 3-week prayer class that's starting March 31st. It's a great kind of continuation of what we're talking about in this series. If you're somebody who's like, I do want to incorporate this, I want to get better at prayer, I want to incorporate this more into my life, I challenge you to take this. It's going to be led by one of our elder couples who are very passionate about prayer. It's going to be great for anybody who goes through it, and just we'll kind of allow you to ask questions about prayer, but also have other people teach you and actually show you how to pray effectively. So check that out. Also, we have a prayer resources page on our website that you can get to by just going to the resources tab of our app or website. It's got example prayers and some other stuff that we've talked about during this series. Or you can come talk to a pastor or talk to somebody in your life who is good at prayer, I guess, and learn from them. The biggest thing I'd tell you and challenge you with is if you're like, I want to get better at prayer, or prayer is not a huge part of my life, don't just sit in that. Take the posture of the disciples. Teach us to pray. Teach me to pray. I know this is important. I want to get better, so teach me to pray. So take the prayer class. Talk to somebody. Take a step, because prayer is absolutely essential to your relationship with God and to you living life to the full. Maybe for you, your next step today is just to begin a relationship with Jesus. Maybe as I've talked about having a relationship with God, you're like, I don't think I have that. Well, you can start that today. There's nothing stopping you. You can start that today. The reality is that our sin has separated us from God. It's created a gap between us and God, and that's why we need Jesus. God sent Jesus to bridge that gap, to fill and pay for our sins so that that gap between us and God would be filled. And all we have to do is accept that gift for ourselves, to put our faith in Jesus, saying, be the forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life. And before we end, when I pray, if you want to do that today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray and begin that relationship with God through Jesus. But before I end, I just want to close with this illustration. When I was a young father, all my boys, we had baby monitors in their room. And so when in the middle of the night, when they needed something, when they could cry out to us and we'd hear them. And the speaker to the baby monitor was usually on my side of the bed. And so a lot of times when they needed something, they'd call out, Dad, Dad, Dad. And usually after maybe like a nudge from my wife for me to get up, I'd go into their room and find out what they need. And sometimes they'd want to get out of bed, or they'd want a snack, or they want to go watch a movie in the middle of the night. And I'm like, no, can't do that. So I wouldn't necessarily give them what they were asking for. But I would always give them my presence. I would always give them my presence. I never, ever, ever wanted one of my sons to be calling out for me in the middle of the night and me not give my presence to them. And if I feel that way, and if you feel that way about your own children, how much more does our perfect Heavenly Father feel that way about you? And so if you've stopped praying because you think God's not hearing me, God's not responding to me, God's not giving me what I'm asking for, I just want to remind you that God has not left you, that God wants to give you himself in his presence and have you depend on him more than anything else that you're asking for. And so cry out to God. He is listening. He hears you. He's got a billion baby monitors, and he can hear you. So I just want to close with that. Pray with me as I close. Father God, I thank you for that truth. I thank you that you are a God who loves us, who hears us, who we can cry out to. I thank you, God, that you know what we need more than we do. I thank you that you draw us to dependence and trust in you. Father, I just pray that as we go out from here today, that we would be people that seek you, that ask, but that also just grow in our dependence and faith in you. For anybody who wants to begin that relationship with God through Jesus today, you can just pray something like this in your heart. Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner and I am in need of a Savior, that I can't do this alone. And Jesus, I declare that you are that Savior, that because of your death on the cross and your resurrection from the dead, that you have paid for my sins and that you have proven that you are God. And I ask that you would be my Savior, that you would be the forgiver of my sins, both past, present, and future, and that you would be the leader of my life from this point forward, my Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.